Willow Valley Communities recognizes the need for a national conversation about the Vietnam War and is proud to support the efforts to preserve the memories of those who lived through it. More information is available at willowvalleycommunities.org. The law firm of Saul Ewing, Arnstein and Lehr, who are proud to partner with WITF in preserving our history to enable future generations to explore the past, understand the present, and create the future. Saul Ewing is online at saul.com.
Smart Talk is supported by Capital Blue Cross, providing healthcare coverage accepted by doctors and specialists in all 50 states. More information is available at capbluecross.com. Capital Blue Cross, live fearless. Smart Talk is also supported by Pinnacle Health, bringing quality care to your community through Harrisburg, Community General Osteopathic, and West Shore Hospitals. More information on our locations is available at pinnaclehealth.org.
The Vietnam War obviously is a huge project for Ken Behrens, Lynn Novick, and Sarah Botstein. And obviously it's something that I know a lot of people are looking forward to. Here at WITF, we have produced a number of two TV documentaries that will be coming up, as well as a number of radio features that you probably have already heard on WITF-FM. And it's all related to the Vietnam War. And want to take this opportunity to thank the supporters, Saul Ewing, the Harrisburg Law Office of Saul Ewing, LLP, and Willow Valley Communities. They have just provided tremendous support for us as we have worked very hard on and devoted a lot of attention to the Vietnam War and even what we're doing here locally. But this is the kind of thing that we do here at WITF. I'm joined by WITF's Multimedia News Director, Tim Lambert. Tim, you've been very much involved in what we're doing here locally with the Vietnam War. Just a tremendous project.
Yeah, it's been great, especially for me, coming of age a little bit after the war had ended. So I didn't know a lot about the history, and having had a chance to watch an hour of the documentary from Ken Behrens, I learned a lot in just that hour. So 18 hours, I can only imagine. But it's been great to get out in the community, talk about this signature event, really, in American history. Turbulent times in the 60s and 70s, and to hear different perspectives about people's experiences and their perspectives with the war. And this morning you heard a story that I produced with a veteran as we were on an honor bus trip to the wall, and how he was visibly and emotionally attached to the names on that wall, the Vietnam Memorial, more than 58,000 names of the men and women killed in the war. He talked about a soldier who had lost his life in his arms, the first casualty he's ever seen. And then he always wanted to talk to a family member to say, hey, this is the last, I'm the last person that your brother saw alive. And he finally got a chance to talk to the sister. So it was just an honor and a pleasure to be able to tell that story to Central Pennsylvania. And if that is something that you want more of each and every time, if you want a context to a story, if you want analysis to a story, you want historical perspective, support public radio right now. If you want conversations that are going to take you outside of your bubble, that are going to be respectful to you and your views, call 1-800-233-9483. Make a contribution of $5 a month, of $10 a month, of a dollar a day in support of the programming you hear each and every day. Scott, we're under $30,000 to go to reach our overall goal by tomorrow. So now's the time to call. We still have some matching money left, it looks like, for Morning Edition. So your contributions will be matched dollar for dollar at 800-233-9483.
You know, something you just said about reaching out in the community, I don't know whether people realize or not, and this is not patting ourselves on the back, about the amount of time and effort that we do put into reaching out to the community. You just talked about riding that bus to Washington, D.C., and getting to talk to so many people. We've had four events, preview events for the Vietnam War, where there's been at least 50 people at each one. Last night here at the Public Media Center, there were over 150 people, and it was very emotional for not only those who had fought in Vietnam, but We had a woman on our panel who was a protester at the time. And that's what this film does, is show all sides of it. But, Tim, behind the scenes, we are doing those things on a daily basis, reaching out to the community and talking to people and, you know, hearing their stories. Something that always strikes me here at WITF is storytelling, because that's what we're all about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's being lost a little bit in this media age. You don't have the time that people put into stories here like we do at WITF. I think people think journalism now is people sitting and making phone calls and then aggregating other stories they see and never really interacting with anybody. And some of the events that I've been out, I've always asked people, hey, have you ever met a journalist before? And the answer is mostly no, because the people just aren't on the ground as much as they used to be. And we try to be as much as we can. And, you know, we have, thanks to your support, we have the largest radio news operation in central Pennsylvania, and we want to keep growing it. And your contributions allow us to do that. So if you make that contribution now at WITF.org or 1-800-233-9483, you can make that $5 a month contribution and pick up a public radio nerd pint glass that everyone's been going nuts for. You can $10 a month, $20 a month, $1 a day, whatever fits into your budget. But show your support right now. Stand with us and stand with the kind of journalism you expect each and every day.
It is funny how popular those public radio nerd glasses, pint glasses.
Yeah, just don't get one. Make it a $20 a month contribution. Get four.
Use them at Thanksgiving dinner.
Bring them to the news and brews. Bring them to the news and brews. That's what one of the volunteers said. Great idea.
Well, Tim Lambert, we'll be talking with you again in just a few minutes.
Sure, Scott.
I want to thank Tim for being with us. It's. I have to smile because those are very handsome glasses. Put it that way. They say public media nerd or public radio nerd, and for a contribution of $60, you can claim your public media nerd glass as well, pint glass. So. Want to move on here a little bit. One of the things that is going on this week and actually starting tomorrow and going through Wednesday is the 4th Annual Harrisburg Hershey Film Festival. Starts Friday at the Midtown Cinema in downtown Harrisburg. The festival will showcase 75 shorts, feature-length, and documentary films by filmmakers from around the world. This has become a big event. The festival connects local filmmakers with industry professionals and promotes independent cinema here in Central Pennsylvania. Joining us to discuss the four-day festival are Hamza Ahmed, founder of the Harrisburg Hershey Film Festival, and Hal Kramer, program director for the festival. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having us.
Good to be here.
You know, I have to think back, and I was just thinking about the success as I was reading that, Hamza. And was it the first year that you were here, or was it the second year?
We were here both years, actually.
Okay, I was going to say, I thought so.
This is actually, just a correction, sorry, this is actually our third year.
This is your third year?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So, when I think back to the first year when you were just getting your start, and, you know, you were looking forward to, you know, bringing world-class film festival here to central Pennsylvania, and now, just a few years later, was more than 75 films?
Yeah, 75 films. We actually had more even submissions this year than our first 2 years combined. So, like, we're in every way we've grown. So the first year was, like, you know, a three-day festival. This time it's almost a six-day festival. We're definitely – we're seeing a lot of growth in films that are coming to us and, you know, the response that we're getting from people that are coming to the festival. And so – it's definitely growing really fast, actually, and I actually still consider ourselves in that sort of startup phase. Like, we're still kind of getting our footing and kind of like trying to adjust to everything that people are telling us, like give the feedback that we're getting, and trying to just kind of like get it right. And I think that it might still be another year or two that we really feel comfortable with the structure of it and everything.
But, well, just the length of time does show how much growth there has been. But at the same time, one of the things I've noticed is that this is truly international. I mean, mm-hmm. You have films coming from around the world, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We have several films from Germany. We have a film this year from Finland. We have a film from Luxembourg. We have films from like everywhere. Like, honestly, like, you look at the list of submissions that we have, And there's probably like maybe like 30 or 40 countries that films came from, like not just the United States.
So. The marquee documentary we have actually is Ethiopia by Tuk Tuk, which is an Italian film. Yeah. And that's, I believe, the lead on Sunday in the afternoon block.
Mm-hmm. So, Hal Kramer, and I have to provide a little context here. Hal has worked here at WITF for the last few years and actually brought this to my attention a few years ago. So, Hal, from your vantage point as program director, what have you seen over the last 3 years?
I have seen so much growth with this film festival. Like, I think Hamza mentioned the submissions grew, but the accepted movies, it's more than the first 2 years combined at this point. We have 32 or 33 hours worth of material we're showcasing over these days. Attendance has gone up, and the overall festival experience has really expanded too. Something we were very proud about specifically was on Film Freeway, which is kind of the big festival site on the internet, we were voted in the top 100 festival experiences in the world just after our second season.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, that's something to be proud of.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it's one of those lists that they kind of like reset every month, and it's based on like the filmmakers and their experience with festivals. And we actually maintained our position in like the 50s on that list for like several months. And hopefully, like as new filmmakers come in and they start reviewing our festival, like we make it back to that list for next year too.
So I'm going to ask some of the basic questions, like why a film festival here in central Pennsylvania?
I think it's something I mentioned a couple years ago, and it still sticks with me. Like, I'm also a filmmaker, so as a filmmaker, to me, it felt like there was just this kind of hole of like a lack of independent cinema in this area, and that's something that over the last few years, people that are familiar with the Midtown Cinema itself, like they've seen the Midtown Cinema bring that culture in a little bit. But there's really nothing like a film festival for independent cinema. And I think that this, for me, it's and someone that who has lived in New York, and I think Hal's been lived in L.A., like we've seen film festivals, like we understand what they are, like we've been to plenty. And they're just like unique experiences. Like you get to see all kinds of films that nobody's ever heard of, and like the films that eventually maybe even will become films that people have heard of. Like, I mean, last year we had an Oscar-nominated film, short film in the festival, and this year we have a couple films that only finished their production this year. So, like, they've really not been seen by that many people yet.
Mm-hmm. So, how I want to make the distinction between independent and those that are supported by the big name Hollywood studios or even the studios from around the world. What's different between an independent film and those other films?
Well, the definition of an independent film is pretty broad. It's basically just something produced outside of the Hollywood mainstream. But nowadays, you have lots of movies that are independent that are like $10 to $30 million budgets. I believe all the movies in this festival are operated on micro budgets.
Yeah.
Like, micro budgets.
Yeah, that's it's a classification by like the unions that determine like how much different like actors or crew people will get paid. They have like restrictions on like, this is a micro-budget film, this is a low-budget film, this is a normal, like... So basically, movies that are, have, like, generally $250,000 or less budgets are micro-budget, so...
It's not a commentary on the quality of the film, it's just how much money was spent to make the film.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, a lot of it's... the same professionals that work on bigger productions, and sometimes they've like sacrificed their time and not getting paid for what they're doing sometimes.
See,
but like
the reason I ask that question is that, I mean, yeah, it only makes sense, but from time to time you'll see someone describe a film as a low budget film, and there's some kind of negative connotation with that. There's not necessarily that. So how, getting back to what you were talking about, the broad definition of independent.
Yeah, it feels like, especially as Oscar season rolls around, pretty much every movie that becomes an Oscar contender is sort of an independent movie because it's produced outside of that mainstream. But a lot of these still have very high budgets, so that's the big distinction between the movies that are in this festival. In fact, one of the movies that opens the festival is a small-budget independent movie that Hamza produced about a year ago.
Yeah, it's called Romance in the Digital Age, and I worked on it last year, mostly last year, and even this year we worked in post-production a lot of it. But yeah, I mean, it's considered a low-budget film, but the budget of it actually is close to $200,000. So, like, I mean, it's really not that, in terms of, like, actual money, it's really not that low.
Yeah, someone's $200,000 may sound low, but yeah. Not to the rest of us, you know?
Exactly. And
especially when you're trying to raise the money for it, right?
No, for sure. I mean, and there's a lot of, like, times where we don't necessarily cut corners, but we, like, have to think critically and think, like, outside the box a little bit. I mean, I know that's kind of a cliche thing to say, but when you're on these production sets, you can't throw money at a lot of the problems. So you have to think very structured. And, like, so when an independent film, to me, when an independent film does something, like, it achieves something in cinematography or even sometimes visual effects, which is another big point about a lot of the films in this festival, it's significantly more impressive to me. Like, you know, you expect something like the Transformers movies to, you know, have great visual effects, but when you see something similar in a small budget film, it's really a lot more impressive because they didn't have that money to throw at the problem.
There is one of the movies that I liked the best in this festival, by the way, was Might, and that was a movie that, what is it, 8 or 10 minutes long? Something?
Yeah, like. I think it's like, we can look at it. I want to say it's like 10 or 11. Yeah, 8 minutes and 53 seconds.
It's a short, but it's produced, I think, on quality with some of the biggest Hollywood blockbusters. Like Hamza said, it was like maybe $50,000 to $60,000 they spent on this movie. It's international, too.
It's from Finland.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Our guest during this portion of the program, Hamza Ahmed, who's founder of the Harrisburg Hershey Film Festival, and Hal Kramer is program director for the festival. If you have a question or a comment, maybe you have a question about trends in filmmaking, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532, or send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. So that is a question that I did want to ask. When you get, the two of you get to see these films, and you've done it now for so many years, mm-hmm. Are there trends out there, or is it all over the place? And when I say that, I mean, and I don't mean that in a negative way, meaning that there's just a lot of different topics, a lot of different content. Well, do you see any trends?
The Oscars sort of set the trend. One independent film will win an Oscar, and it'll be, you know, like a dark drama of some sort. And so, like, you'll see a trend of a bunch of independent dark dramas. But, you know, there are still films that are very consistent. Like, you know, drama and comedy, those are very consistent films anyways. So, but I think this year we noticed the kind of an uphill tick in sci-fi. And
really?
Sort of more fantastical elements, films that had, like, you know, time travel elements or like random things that you're watching the movie and you suddenly don't expect it, and suddenly there's like an element that is very science fiction, or suddenly there's an element that's very fantasy, and that's something we notice a lot this year. And you know, not every one of those films gets into the festival, but some of them do. I mean, some of them, the production value and the acting and all those things kind of like just glue together really well, and they really appeal to us, and we definitely accept those films.
What kind of quality, what are you looking for as far as criteria goes to be entered into the festival?
Well, I think one of the big things is that we project these films at the Midtown Cinema, who they have a great sort of state-of-the-art projector system, like an actual cinema projector system. So some of those kind of like really low-budget films don't translate well, and we know that these aren't going to look good or sound good. And sometimes, you know, the films just happen to be really good, and we'll take them and we'll accept the faults that they have. But a lot of times, you know, we look at the production value and we look at a lot of those things, like, is the acting good? Is, like, stuff that, you know, isn't technical sometimes, and it's very, like, subjective on our part, but we have a bunch of people, actually, that watch these films, not just the two of us, so, and they all have their different opinions about different things, so, one person will watch a film and give it a rating, and then somebody else will, like, look at it and say, like, you know, you gave this an 8, but I would give this a 6 or something like that. And
Sometimes we take unfinished movies, too. Like, if a movie has not quite gone through the finalizing of a post-production process but looks really good, sometimes they'll submit with the idea of getting accepted while they're finishing the movie as well.
And that's a very sometimes risky thing also on our part because, you know, we have to accept the films in July, and so we know that they have until September to actually finish the film and give it to us. But also, you know, if it's filmmaking, sometimes is a crapshoot a little bit. Like, you don't know if it's actually going to get done in that much time. So we have to accept it like how it is sometimes. So,
when you were talking about the acting and the cinematography, all those things, are there films? And I'm sure there are, but maybe tell me about a few that you've viewed and you say, "Oh, this is going to be big." Whether you know, we're talking about commercially at the box office, don't know about that, but that you've seen an actor and said, this person, he or she, has a bright career ahead of them. Have you seen that in the films over the last 3 years?
I think for sure. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, sometimes there are films in the festival that there are actors in these films that, you know, people will recognize from other things. Like, it's not that these are like nobodies.
Right.
But there are definitely some films that there may be even sometimes the first acting role that person's ever had. Like, maybe somebody made a film and, you know, cast their grandmother in it. Or, you know, I mean, some kind of like...
Grandma who's a natural.
Yeah, who just happens to be a natural.
It happens more often than you'd think.
Really?
Yeah. And so we sometimes, a lot of times when we're looking up these films, especially when we're compiling the data for all the films... we start looking up like the actors and seeing maybe like what they're from and stuff, and we can't find any credits for them, and we realize like, oh, this is like a complete newcomer and they just happen to be like a great actor.
How you were quick to mention that, are there examples? I mean, are there examples in films that someone has been cast and they don't have a big resume, that they're just a natural?
I think that's just an experience I've had working in films in general, not specifically with Harrisburg Hershey Film Festival. But Hamza and I have been making movies together since we were, what, 14?
Yeah,
and so cool. A lot of times we'll just cast somebody because, you know, they happen to be around and they just get being on camera. Like, they get the presence, they get how to project themselves. And the inverse happens, too. Sometimes you'll have a seasoned, especially stage actor, who just gets lost on camera because the medium is totally different. But it's always really refreshing to find somebody who just really shines on camera, and it was something they didn't know about themselves before they stepped in front of your independent little movie.
You know, a few minutes ago, I asked about trends. As the two of you know, I mean, we are in a society today that politics is very much in front of the news. We live in a divided country. I'm curious about documentaries. There, I'll get the word out. Documentaries, or is there a trend in film of people doing something that it has to do with the news or current events?
I'm not sure in regards to this festival.
A little bit. I mean, we have a documentary film called Triple Divide Redacted, which is about fracking in Pennsylvania. We have a film about the coal mine fires also in Pennsylvania. I mean, like, there are those. We specifically sometimes will take documentaries also that are more pertinent to what's going on, like, locally. Because I think those appeal to our audiences a lot better sometimes. But, you know, this year I think there's also a filmmaker who submitted a documentary this year who in a previous year had submitted a narrative film. So, like, is making sort of a transition into documentary films. And so there is a trend of documentaries, I think. A lot of Discovery Channel and the History Network, like all those TV stations. Yeah, PBS. Yeah. Well, PBS, I think, has always been known for documentaries, but I think that documentaries are becoming more popular and mainstream, and maybe even Netflix has something to do with that and giving people more accessibility to them. But one of the things that we're seeing is a new, like, sort of 5 to 10 minute documentary format that's very YouTube friendly. And a lot of those are getting submitted to the festival more and more recently.
So the festival begins tomorrow, goes through Wednesday. What about tickets? How can listeners get some tickets to it?
Well, there's a lot of options, actually. I mean, we have passes, which are like a day pass or a two-day or three-day pass. Those give you access to all of the screening blocks in that time. And we have, generally, there's three blocks a day. So if you get a day pass, you get to see all the films that day. Or you can go through Midtown Cinema directly and buy just one block, which is, you know, whatever the $9 ticket fee is.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us today, and good luck with the festival.
Thank you so
much,
Scott.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar.
Willow Valley Communities recognizes the need for a national conversation about the Vietnam War and is proud to support the efforts to preserve the memories of those who lived through it. More information is available at willowvalleycommunities.org. The law firm of Saul Ewing, Arnstein, and Lair, who are proud to partner with WITF in preserving our history to enable future generations to explore the past, understand the present, and create the future. Saul Ewing is online at saul.com.